A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can, just so." He added, "Shall your descendants be?" Abram put his faith in the Lord, who created it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram brought him these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite of the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun set, was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and the deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared to be a smoke, fire pot, and flaming torch. It passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, is my light and my salvation.
Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body, by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." But he did not know what he was saying. And while he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. How easy it is to miss a moment of beauty. Between hurry and worry and competition and complaining and that insidious blue light from our TVs and phones, we often miss the beauty that surrounds us. If anyone could have benefited from slowing down, taking in the beauty to embrace a moment, it was Jesus' disciples. Every single day, God in the flesh had walked in their midst. They soaked up some of the wisest words ever spoken. With divine deeds, Jesus over and over again jumped over human hurdles, exceeding the disciples' small expectations. But the disciples rarely seemed to understand just how awesome this person Jesus was. I suppose familiarity often dulled their spiritual senses. But on one occasion, God would pull back the curtain in astonishing ways, which really let his majesty shine through. Jesus' transfiguration proved to be one of those pivotal moments. How would the disciples react when they beheld Jesus in his divine glory? Let's explore how God relayed truth in that moment. Truth not just for the three disciples that were with him, but truth for us in our time as well. About a week after Jesus plainly told his disciples that he would suffer, be put to death, and be raised to life, he took Peter, James, and John up a mountain to pray. While praying, his personal appearance was changed into a glorified form, and his clothing became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appeared and talked with Jesus about his death that would soon take place. Suddenly, a cloud enveloped them. A voice said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." And then, just as suddenly, the cloud lifted. Moses and Elijah had disappeared, and Jesus was alone with his disciples, who were still very much afraid and in awe of what they had witnessed and heard. Now, the story of Jesus' appearance changing up there on the mountain can be bewildering to us, but from this story, we get two specific spiritual directives from God himself. First, from Luke's gospel, we hear the Father say to the disciples and to all generations, "Listen to him." Now, it's not a stretch to suggest that our most important relationships depend on really listening, not pretend listening or selective listening, but active listening. Today's gospel reminds us that there is someone in our lives that we dare not ignore. Someone who deserves our full attention. Someone we'd better listen to. Do you listen to Jesus at all during your day? Can you hear him over the noise of your busy life? Do you create time to listen to him, shoving other things aside in order to take in his words? Are you the kind of person that has to listen to things quickly because you just don't have the time or the patience to listen slowly? When you find a place and a way to listen slowly to Jesus, however that works for you, then you will truly begin deepening your faith life and your relationship with Christ. It begins with listening. Not so much with the ears, but with the heart. So the better we listen, the slower we listen, the more God can speak to and through us. The more we listen to his words in Scripture, the more he reveals himself to us. And the more we listen in quiet and prayer without distractions, the easier it is to hear the whisper of God in our hearts. Once you know how to listen slowly, you will hear things and understand them below the surface of your life. And if you listen slowly, you will hear the same message he had for his terrified disciples, and it's exactly what we need to hear today. Which brings me to our second spiritual directive from God during the Transfiguration. So the first one is listen to him. Secondly, in Matthew's description of the Transfiguration, we read that the disciples were terrified by his experience, by their experience. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Rise and do not be afraid." Don't be afraid. Those three short words sum up why Jesus came. He came to remove fear by giving himself to you. Do not be afraid. You know, I think if I saw Jesus illuminated and transfigured into a bright spiritual light, and then I saw two old dead Jewish icons like Moses and Elijah suddenly appear before me, and then I heard the voice of God booming from above, I just don't think I would have any rational presence of mind. The fear of the disciples was absolutely real. So in fear, they fell to the ground, they covered their heads. But when they dared to look up, all they saw was Jesus. The cloud was gone, Moses and Elijah were gone. Jesus just looked like Jesus. He said to them, "And now to us, do not be afraid." These words are meant for all generations. To the person running from God, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To the person gripped with anxiety about the future, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Stop worrying then over questions like, "What are you to eat or drink or wear?" The unbelievers are always running after these things. Your Heavenly Father knows all that you need. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. To the person whose sins are killing them, whose guilt is weighing them down, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Now go in peace." To the person at the edge of burnout, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." To the person wondering if God even notices them, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Are not two sparrows sold for next to nothing? Yet not a single sparrow falls to the ground without the will of my Father. As for you, every hair on your head has been counted. So do not be afraid of anything. You're worth more than a flock of sparrows." To the person scared to death of death, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." To the person terrified at the thought that their life is meaningless, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go forth and bear fruit." And finally, to the person who suspects that their questions and their doubts will disqualify them from God's blessings, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." My friends, if you feed your fears, your faith will starve. But if you feed your faith, your fears will starve. And how is it that we are to feed our faith? Well, we begin by listening to him.